something that I am doing is I'm seeking God everywhere. Like, I'm searching out scriptures in the Bible that's pertaining to my lifestyle, and I'm casting things out of my life. I'm just really, really taking the initiative to know who God really is.
Dr. Randy, I think one of the biggest things with prayer, and particularly prayer with children, is consistency. And starting now, we created a little, what we call the first little prayer with my daughter. And it's just a simple little prayer we use every night. It's made a powerful change in our relationship.
Hi, this is Maggie, and I just wanted to say that my intentional living is to go out on Facebook and Twitter and social media and remind my Facebook friends that we are children of God, that God is in control.
Those are people choosing to live an intentional life in Christ. The idea of stretching ahead, moving forward toward goals that matter, decisions that are being made, and daily managing those decisions by doing the next right one thing. Today, if you're struggling in any area of your life, physically, emotionally, relationally, spiritually, trust God and then live intentionally in Him to bring Him glory. Intentional living in Christ is the only way, in my view, to live a successful life. There's other ways of living, and we see people doing it. People who live an unintentional life. People who jump from one thing to another, you know, from pleasure to pleasure, as the scriptures tells, looking for something in their life, but weary and exhausted at the end of the day. Other people who are choosing to be good intentioned, but not following through, wanting to do the next right one thing, but procrastinating in the process. And that's a life of mediocrity, frankly. And intentional living is not about perfection. It's not about superiority. It's really about bringing God glory and benefit to yourself. People who end their lives and look back and have been successful at the things that matter most did that intentionally. And maybe didn't even call it that. They just did it because that's the way they wanted to live. And so it's a way of living, and it begins by doing the next right one thing. The 30-day challenge is what we really start with because it brings it home to a practical thing of one thing you could do for the next 30 days that would make the biggest difference. What is it? Maybe you have a one-thing story or one-thing question for me. The phone line is open at 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717. And again, today, we're making available to everybody who calls and gets through to me the free download, Your Intentional Life 101, the basic class on intentional living. Again, call 888-888-1717. Tim in Arizona is first today. Tell us your one thing story.
At one point in my life, I really had no prayers left to pray, Randy, and so all I started to do was to pray the Lord's Prayer over and over.
Can I ask what led you to feeling to get to that place?
2 days after 9/11, 2001, my 19-year-old son took his own life. And to boot, I was a youth pastor and a worship leader. And I was reading just Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John over and over because I had pretty much thrown away all the other knowledge that I thought I had about God. And I was really trying to figure something out. And all I could do was repeat the Lord's Prayer. So I started with worship, and I didn't really think God was worthy of being told that He is good. And it hurt to tell Him that at the time. And when I was in the black hole of my depression, I didn't have the strength to do one thing, I don't think, but I could repeat the Lord's Prayer. And even though I didn't honestly, I really don't think I even meant it, God's faithfulness is what made the prayer powerful. And so I just cast the physical needs of my family because my other kids were making horrible decisions. My marriage was falling apart. My wife was suicidal. We were a wreck. My youngest son became bulimic, almost alcoholic. We were in a nosedive. there was a lot of hurt in our family. And as any pastor will tell you in the ministry, it's just a place of warfare.
How are you doing now?
Well, I've been married 38 years. My wife and I are ridiculously madly in love. I just took 6 of my 8 grandchildren camping for 4 days up in the mountains. And quite honestly, Randy, if you would have asked me in 2007 if I thought anything like that was even conceivably possible, I would have said no.
Hey, listen, Tim, that's a fantastic success story. I will say, though, you did one thing. I mean, you did the only thing that you could think of at that time, even though you didn't even believe it. You just repeated the Lord's Prayer. In other words, you took an intentional action. I think what happens many times is we think it has to be some big, profound thing that we do. And you might be feeling just like Tim did. You're at the bottom of the pit. There's high hills and there's low pits. And when you're in the pit, you can't think about, wow, all those one things that Randy talks about. You might be like Tim and just say, hey, all I can do is, you know, repeat the Lord's Prayer or whatever it is. But you're making an intentional decision and acting on it to do even that small thing. Powerful. Okay, 888-888-1717. Let me go to Darren, who's on the line in Arizona. Darren, appreciate your call. What's your one thing you called about today?
Well, thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to communicate that I want to be intentional over the next 30 days to pray with my family every day and take that time to pray with them and give them the chance to pray, too. In addition to that, I'm also going to communicate my faith outward to the community, to the public, even those that I don't know, and let them know that my identity is in Jesus Christ and that Lord is that he's my Savior and God is real and God loves you no matter what. And then take that time to actually pray with those people. So I just appreciate the show that you have. And I just wanted to share that with you, that that's going to be my intentions and out for the next 30 days.
Fantastic. We'll be thinking of you and praying for you. Let us know at the end of 30 days what impact that had in your life and the lives of others. Would you do that?
Yes, sir. I will definitely give you guys a call back and let you know how that came out. And it'll be God's will and who I am able to reach out there in this world.
Fantastic. Listen, like Darren, you can do one thing. He said it. He's decided on it. Now he's going to do it. And if he falls down, he'll get back up and keep going. You can do one thing as well. What one thing could it be? Not to criticize. Maybe it's to pray for. Maybe it's to reach out and do one thing. What is it? 888-888-1717. We'll be back real soon.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Intentional love can transform a marriage.
We have been able to put aside our selfishness and really put each other first, and that has really made a difference.
Natasha and her husband have experienced firsthand the power of intentional living. Put the power of intentional love to work in your marriage. The Intentional Love Marriage Date Night is November 8th and 9th in Mesa and Glendale, November 16th in Tucson. Go to theintentionallife.com.
If you have an opposite sex friendship, here's one important thing to do. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Living Minute. Establish clear guardrails. Please don't assume that you're stronger than everyone else, that, you know, some way or other you're going to be able to maintain an opposite sex friendship without having some guardrails in place. Satan is a deceiver and he's good at it. Here are 3 good guardrails for healthy opposite sex friendships. Number 1, don't talk about marital problems with that friend. That only heightens the emotionality in that relationship. Number 2, don't go behind your spouse's back. You know, that's deceit. And it may be an indication there's an issue going on in that relationship. And don't spend time alone. When you do these 3 things, you're being intentional in that opposite sex friendship.
Visit us at theintentionallife.com.
The Intentional Living Minute is a video recorded and available. We'll send it right to your email box every morning, Monday through Friday. You can subscribe today at theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com/minute. Okay? It's also available on Facebook, by the way, just so you know. We're at the last hour, 11th hour, as it were, this month. And one of the last calls that I can share with you for the hope that lights the way, the 2019 and 2020 16-month wall calendar. It is gorgeous. We have it in our home. We'd love to have it be sent to you as well. Thank you for asking for it. It's our gift to you. Share the most generous gift you can. We'd appreciate it to help us close out this month of August. We rely upon your gifts and your prayers, of course. Just go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Stories of doing the next right one thing, or doing one thing and seeing what happens over 90 or 30 days. What's your story? Or maybe you have a question about one thing. I'd love to help you. Give me a call, 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717. Love to hear from you. Let's go to Kansas. Appreciate your call. Tell us your one thing story today.
My name is Joe, and my husband and I got married several years ago, got divorced shortly after, and then we got back together again, and I have chosen that I will never, ever give up on our marriage, and I will love him intentionally, no matter what, and even love him when he's not very lovable. I love him, no matter what. This is God's will, and I will do it.
All right. That's intentional living. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it. Martha from South Carolina, tell us your one thing.
My one intentional that I would like to do for 30 days is to quit smoking. I don't know how I can quit, but I just listen to your show every day on my way home from work. It's just been, I've been wanting to quit for a long time. So that's what I'm going to challenge myself with, is to quit smoking for our Lord, for my health, for one, and for the Lord. So thank you for your program that I get to listen to every day. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Martha. You're doing that. That God will get glory. You're taking care of your body. You're trying to be more healthy. Of course, it's going to benefit you. I would encourage you, because you said, you know, I want to, this is what I want to do. Want to's, I think we all have want to's. There's things that we want to do, but actually doing it is tough. Sometimes it's a mental decision. Sometimes it takes physical energy to make a decision and then do it. And in your case, you may need to get some help. There may be some medical help available, some counseling help available, accountability. But if you really want to be successful, you're going to have to push through the barriers, because you're going to have a lot of resistance, because my guess is you've tried in the past to stop and have failed. And now this reminds you, as you hear intentional living, that you can do the next right one thing and you want to do it. But I encourage you to not do what you've done in the past. This time, get some additional help, reach out, find some people who can support you in the process, because you can be successful if you stay at it. It's a tough road for those who've been down it. You've told me it is. It certainly can be. Okay, let me see, Joe from Arizona left a high-stake relationship question on our comment line. I'd like to share it with you before we take a break.
Hello, Dr. Randy. My question kind of was, I own a business, my wife owns a business, my daughter plays club volleyball, she's 13, goes to school. It seems like the easiest thing to eliminate from our life is church service, stuff like that, and wondering what your take was on how to keep a balance with that when life just takes it over. You were awesome. I appreciate what you do. Thank you.
Listen, Joe, you get one shot at this thing of parenting, and I think those of us who've been through it, we look back and we say, well, if I were to do it again, I'd do a little more of this and a little less of that. Here's the question I think I would ask. I would say, when this is all done and the kids are gone and they're married and they're on to their own life, what do I want to be remembered for? Now, having activities, sports, and that kinds of thing, that's fine. That's good. But we tell people limit that. Maybe no more than one thing for each semester. What you're going to remember most and what's going to be most important is the time you spent with your kids in informal settings, encouraging them, talking about vision, talking about the future, praying with them, and more than anything, making sure they're getting good spiritual opportunities in their life. Plugged into a Bible-believing, teaching church, having good friends. These are the things that are going to matter. Making sure that the friends come to your house so you can see them and know what's going on. You're not going to look back probably later on and say, I remember their hit-run averages as a baseball player. But you're going to remember the times you spent with them. And so put balance in. It sounds like your feeling is out of balance now. Certainly cutting church out isn't something that you should do. I'd make that a priority in your life. Appreciate it, Joe. Thank you for your call. You're welcome to join in. Maybe you have a question, comment about the power of one thing, about being intentional for a high-stake relationship. 888-888-1717 is the number, and I'll be back here in just a minute.
Hope.
God is working through me. I ended up being born again. I accepted Jesus. I just want to encourage other women out there to not give up.
You have your own story of how Christ transformed your life. You can celebrate it and also offer the hope you have to someone else. How? By requesting the beautiful new Hope That Lights the Way 16-month wall calendar from Intentional Living. Every day will be a beautiful reminder of your own walk with the Lord, and your gift to the ministry will work through Intentional Living to reach someone else who needs to experience hope too.
It impacts my life daily. I feel like I receive something out of it.
Share your hope and request the beautiful new Hope That Lights the Way 16-month wall calendar with your gift to Intentional Living. Just go to theintentionallife.com today.
And so in about 30 minutes, I'm going to take you through all six chapters of Ephesians. This is going to be the quickest survey of the book of Ephesians, and a lot more scripture than we normally have. But I think it's important, again, for those of you who are members, those of you supporting the ministry, and for staff, that we get back to understanding the biblical basis for why we do this. Yeah, there is a biblical basis for intentional living. In fact, when I finished this lesson, I had several staff come up and say, thank you. You know, for really laying this out, because it's a powerful teaching from the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians is split into two parts. The first three really talk about our position in Christ, and the last three talk about what we do with that, how we live intentionally. It's a very powerful book of the Bible and very informative to what intentional living is all about. Members, you've already received it. Your ongoing membership, we just sent it to you automatically. Thank you for doing that. If you would like to receive a copy, this is the last opportunity I can make available to you. As you share your gift and request it, we'll send it to you at theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. We're talking about intentional living, about the power of doing one thing. What one thing are you doing, or one thing you'd like to do, one thing you'd like to commit to, maybe right here today, on intentional living. Love to hear from you. And we're going to send you a hookup for the Your Intentional Life 101 basic class on MP3. Just call 888-888-1717. I want to say thanks to those of you who have been praying for us, and your support here at the end of the month is so critical. What happens in the next several hours will close out August and help us close out the summer strong. Your best gift allows us to continue, and frankly, you make stories like this one possible.
Hi, yes, this is Rainbow down in Tucson, Arizona, and the next great thing I'm doing for my family at home is I no longer complain about my husband. I took a 30-day challenge to not say one negative thing about my husband, and with that, I have found nothing but joy and have found myself not complaining about anything. It has definitely made my family better, stronger, and we've never been more happy. Thank you for intentional living. Praise God. Amen.
Amen. She made a prayer. Thank you, Rainbow. Listen, you remind us that sometimes all we need to hear is, wow, some word, something from Scripture that gets you thinking, and you're empowered to start moving and living intentionally. In your case, say, I'm not going to criticize my husband for the next 30 days. And what a difference it made. I love what you said. Not only did you stop criticizing him, you stopped criticizing anyone. Criticism is like a cancer. It destroys. So we're glad we could be with you, Rainbow, and encouraging you on that journey. We glad you called. All right. Gina from Michigan needs some parenting advice, apparently. Hi, Gina. How can we help you?
Well, I have two children. My oldest, she's 9, and then my youngest, he's 4. And she is one where everything has to be perfect and planned, and she's not very adaptable. She has a very hard time when things change. My four-year-old is very strong-willed as well, but he's on the opposite scale, whereas he grasps at any change that comes and revels in it. And so they're constantly battling each other, and I can never get them to stop arguing, but then they're also really close, so they never like to be apart either.
Which you wish they would more often, right?
Oh, well, at the same time, I don't, because I lost my brother 4 years ago, and him and I were best friends, and I think that's one of the reasons that they do cling on to each other so much, is because they saw what I went through losing mine, so.
I'm sorry for your loss.
Yeah, but.
Well, what I hear is that you obviously you're a good mom and doing a good job and want to raise your kids to be responsible and get along with each other. But if I hear you mostly, you're mostly concerned that it sounds like your oldest, your nine-year-old, has to be perfect to be okay.
Yes, and that's really hard. I've been trying to figure out how to teach her to kind of let things go and not worry so much about everything.
Can mom do that?
No.
You know where I'm going, don't you, Gina?
I need to
okay.
Work on. Yes. I need to work on it for her to be able to work on it.
Yeah, you do, Gina, because listen, at the end of the day, kids absorb from parents. We are all impacted, and especially a firstborn. I mean, you've experimented with a firstborn just like we did with ours, and it's just part of the process. You all firstborns know you get the pressure of parents who are trying to do things perfectly. So if they do it right or wrong, you're the test subject. And so firstborns really feel it. And so I would encourage you, Gina, to just pick up on that thought and say, okay, I'm going to be a little less perfect, back off on trying to be perfect, and really communicate to my kids that there's a difference. And you don't use these big words necessarily, but there's a difference between being perfect and being excellent. There's a difference between having to have everything right and doing the next right one thing. There's a difference between, at the end of the day, perfection and process, because perfection is not anything we're ever going to reach on this side, see? And to be able to just help your children, not only the nine-year-old, but the four-year-old as well, to just live their lives, know they're different. See, what you've shown, too, is that first and second-borns are completely different, and you're going to have to parent them a little differently, because the nine-year-old is going to wrestle with being perfect, wanting to be perfect, not feeling like they measure up. And the four-year-old may have to have some limits put into place and some accountability. So you're going to parent them differently. But in the process, I would probably turn down the level of expectations for everything having to be perfect or right in your home. And I think as Christian families, I think Christian homes, we often wrestle with this. Because, you know, we want to be different. We want to be a different kind of family. We want to have a family where, you know, we're closer and we're trying to keep out the world. And I understand all that. That's a good thing. But in the process, don't make your home a place where they have to be perfect to be okay. I know that's never the intention of a parent, but sometimes that's the perception that a child picks up. And that can be very difficult. Okay, I think we have time for Joy. We have a call from Joy in New Mexico. Joy, what's your question?
I was calling because I wanted to get some advice or direction on how to deal with a spouse who used to know Christ, used to believe in Christ, but has since, as an adult, turned away from Christ and has buried himself in alcohol. He's what I refer to as a functioning alcoholic.
And what does he refer to it?
He thinks he has a problem, but he believes it's not a problem big enough where he needs to do anything about it.
Mm-hmm. Have those of you who love him ever confronted him with this?
Yes, we have. And in fact, we have probably more so in the last 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
He drinks until he passes out. And he does so anytime he does not have to be at work.
Mm.
So if he has to work, then he won't drink. But if he's not at work and he doesn't have that work commitment, then that's pretty much all he's doing.
Did he have a drinking problem before, or did it start? Was there something that started the drinking? Or
I would say he's always had a substance abuse problem. It wasn't always just alcohol. There was drugs involved for a short period of time. And it just, the alcohol has just gotten worse over the past few years.
Mm-hmm. Hey, listen, Joy, in the process, let's call it what it is. I mean, what you're saying without saying it is my husband has a substance abuse and he's an alcoholic, if I'm hearing you correctly. And he recognizes he has a problem, but like so many people that have a substance abuse problem, they feel they can control it. Because it sounds like he's saying, well, when I have to go to work, I can control it, but then when I'm not, I don't. A question we always can ask a person is, could you stop today and for the next 30 days be okay without drinking or without taking a substance? And that pretty well clearly decides the answer to, do I have a problem or not? And so in your case, you know, again, we get back to intervention. There's a point where we see so many lives being destroyed because of substances, and the more substances that get out to people, the greater the problem. I mean, look what's happening with opioids, given with good intentions to solve pain problems, and how easily we can be addicted and taken over by things. I don't think most of us set out in our lives to say, hey, I want to have a substance abuse problem. I don't think people set out to say, I want to be an abusive personality. People don't set out and say, you know, I want to have an affair or damage my marriage. People don't do that. But these things in the fallen, sinful world in which we live can become a part of the process. And if we don't deal with truth and honesty, that's the key. We've got to get with truth, put the cards face up, and deal with them as we see them. That's the only way there's going to be healing in life. So I hope that is something your husband's willing to do, but as you know, you can't change him. Not until we get to the place of saying, I need help. That's true spiritually as well. We're wrapping up the program today. This is Intentional Living, but I'm going to stay right here in the studio. I'd love to have you call. Maybe you have a story to share what God's done in your life by being intentional, or a question for me. We have the MP3 download, our gift to you, when you call 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717. Remember the upcoming Intentional Love Marriage Date Nights in Mesa and Glendale in the Phoenix area, November 8th and 9th, and then in Tucson on November 16th at Oro Valley Church of the Nazarene. I'm going to be teaching. And then the Intentional Living Alaskan Cruise. Wow, we have limited cabin availability for this special 7-day cruise to Alaska, departing June 28th over the 4th of July holiday. 7 days. It'll be very encouraging. Check it out. Get your cabin at theintentionallife.com. See you next time from Intentional Living.